get ready for an hour of fishing, hunting, and outdoor events from all over the great state of Alabama. It's time for Alabama's Great Days Outdoors. Join Alan White, founder of Great Days Outdoors magazine, along with co-host John Felsher and special guests as they bring you the latest weekly updates from the woods and the water. Alabama's Great Days Outdoors is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Conservation and Great Days Outdoors magazine. Now, here are Alan White and John Felsher.
Good morning, Alabama. This is Alan White with Great Days Outdoors magazine, along with John Felsher, outdoor writer and photographer. And right off the bat, we've got a special announcement about a National Wild Turkey Federation banquet that's taking place over on the Eastern Shore. Eastern Shore Strutters Chapter Banquet is going to be August 18th, 6 o'clock p.m. at the Fairhope Civic Center. If you want to go ahead and get your ticket, just need to contact Wes Boyette at 251-408-7814. You know, those banquets are always a lot of fun, John.
Oh, yeah, always a lot of fun. And, you know, alligator season's opening up this weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be going out in the Mobile Tensaw Delta with some of our state guys from the Conservation Department and see if we can find some people catching alligators.
Really? Well, I hope they got lots of food on the boat. That's all I can say.
For the alligators or for me?
For you. I'd hate for them to have to deal with a hungry John Felsher all night.
It's not pretty for the alligator, that's for sure.
All right, let's get started with our fishing forecast for you for this weekend. First of all, on the Mobile Tensaw Delta, Captain Wayne Miller. How you doing, Wayne?
Doing great. How y'all doing?
We're doing good. I heard the river's rising. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, we got a little bump on it. You know, it's not bad on the Mobile. You know, it's up about 4.5 feet. The Alabama's actually this weekend, you know, it'll be turning around. It'll have a slow fall on it. So, you know, the conditions we've had this week, obviously in the mornings, you know, it's been pretty nice. I mean, we've had some real good cloudy mornings, which is has really cranked up a pretty good topwater bite on some of the grass with buzz baits and frogs and, you know, just assorted topwater baits. Of course, we've been getting the rains just about every day, and it's really keeping the water temperatures, you know, down a little bit. Most of the main rivers right now are, you know, they're running about 86, 87 degrees, which is really warm, but, you know, it's not necessarily that hot for what we typically see, you know, in the middle of August.
Do you think Mifflin and some of those middle delta lakes will be high this weekend?
No, you know, they'll be normal. Okay. As far as the water level in them, they'll be fine. You know, most of the bass guys that I've been seeing and talking to, I mean, I was on the water all morning this morning, you know, are focusing on the main rivers. You know, they're going into some of the creeks and bigger lakes, you know, early and late in the day fishing for you know, topwater bite, but on up in the day, especially with the tide movement, most people have been staying in the main rivers. We're transitioning off a pretty good tide cycle that we've been on, and it's going to be pretty much a nip tide this weekend, so that's going to make the fishing a little tougher. So, you know, I think you'll see most of the bass guys will probably stay out in those main rivers and fish fairly deep with soft plastic and deep diving crankbaits. Mm.
Are you going to be fishing in the benefit tournament this Saturday at Live Oak Landing?
No, I'm not going to be able to fish that one, but I understand they're doing that one for the police officer that was shot, and I've heard a lot of people talk about it, so I think they're going to have a real good turnout for that particular event.
Well, try to come by for the weigh-in. I'll be out there emceeing for the event, so hope to see you there, buddy.
Yeah, man.
All right, Wayne Miller, that's a good report, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Well, John, I know you're going to be chasing alligators this weekend with the state guys in their boat. Y'all going to be handing out citations?
Well, we'll just have to see if everybody's playing by the fair rules out there. And never can tell with those guys, but I know I'll be on the right side of them, so I don't have to worry about that.
That's right. You'll be in the boat with them. So
I'll be in the boat.
You better behave yourself then.
Everybody is always going to obey the law out there. Nobody ever breaks the law, right?
No. Absolutely not. Not down here, anyway. Well, you know, I've done that before. I've been alligator hunting mostly in Louisiana, and I was able to take one with a bow and arrow over there.
Oh.
And I had 3 days in the bayou of Louisiana living on a little houseboat camp with a family of Cajuns that really, they caught like 700 alligators every year. That's wow. How they make part of their living.
And you survived that.
Yeah, but I have no desire to hunt any more alligators. I had enough of it. I tell you, that was some intense stuff over there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Louisiana, they say everybody has waterfront property occasionally.
That's right. Let's check in with Mike Thompson on the northern Mobile Bay in the Causeway area. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, guys.
Well, is things getting better this weekend?
Yes, and they certainly are. You know, we had those two ungodly rains Friday and then the first part of the week, and, boy, it really came down. But that was local rain, and it's rolling off over the top, and the upper part of the bay is starting to build a pretty good salinity, along with a lot of saltwater fish coming up. Of course, the redfish are still epidemic up there. You have people are catching redfish everywhere they go with live shrimp or fresh dead shrimp. They're catching a few scattered specks up to the north. It's not, you know, turned on, and it's really not time for it to turn on up there. But the speck fishing has been real good from the middle of the bay northward. And that's been a long time coming because it stayed so muddy and so fresh for a while. Those specks were just hanging down, you know, around Dauphin Island and Gulf Shores. And this past week, there's been some real good catches caught at Middle Bay Light, at the beacons north and south of Middle Bay Light. Been some good fish caught at Gilliard Island. Moving on into Theodore Canal, they're catching a few specks, and they're catching a lot of those mangrove snapper in there, catching a few small white trout, and there's been some big redfish in there. So there's fish moving up. There's also been some bird activity north of Dog River. Bird activity means fish are below pushing the bait to the surface. You know, you never know what kind of fish they're going to be. It could be ladyfish. It could be white trout. It could be specks. But it's always worthwhile to go investigate that. So everything is improving day by day.
If there's some bird activity, that might be some shrimp are moving.
Yeah, the shrimp are on the move. And I talked to the shrimpers on the causeway, Larry and Barry Scott. They're getting their shrimp, you know, and they're working for them. But, you know, it's like it seems to be a day-by-day thing whether they hit them or, you know, they don't. Now, one of the things they said that will perk your interest, John, is they said they've noticed that they're catching two, possibly three flounders on, you know, when they're pulling for shrimp. And that's kind of, you don't usually catch them unless they're pretty thick. Mm-hmm. So that's a good sign that the flounder are moving up towards the north. There was some beautiful flounder caught over the weekend by Bob Ward, and I don't know exactly where he caught them, but he had some beautiful flounders up to 4 pounds, caught them on live bait, beautiful fish. There was a lot of redfish caught. The coastal fishermen had a fishing tournament this past weekend. And so everything is really looking good.
The water around that area is back to being salty, so the crabs doing, are they catching crabs?
The crabs are back. Yeah. Yes, they are. You know, you just have to light on top of them. You know, they might be here today and gone tomorrow, but mm-hmm. as far as are they up to the north, yes, they are. Wait. And, you know, one of the queen crab catchers, Jenny Steve Behind, she has been on the crabs doing real good, and, you know, she shows pictures on her Facebook of piles of crabs that she's cleaning and putting up for her delicious crab cakes, which I've had a couple, and you can't go wrong if you ever get a chance to try one.
Well, crabs always go together with flounder, so I like to have that stuffed flounder with some crab meat. What's going on north of the causeway as far as saltwater fish? Any redfish or flounder up there north of the
bridge? Well, yeah, there are a few redfish up in the river, but, you know, most people are hanging down low. You know, the guys that are all going up in the river catching a few bass on the river. I heard Wayne talk about he's concentrating on the rivers. And they are catching some brim in the creeks. If you can find a shady creek, that seems to be the secret. You find a shady creek and fish in the deeper part of the creek with live crickets. You can pick up some nice brim. There's been some real nice brim caught in Baymanette Basin up in the creek. So you can still do some of that if you find the right spot.
A shady creek is always best in August, isn't it?
Oh, man, a shady creek's best.
No matter what you're doing.
During the summer, whether you're catching fish or not.
Man, we've really had some hot days lately. It seems to heat up real fast, so you have to be real careful with hydration out there and make sure you got plenty of water.
You know, but there's a hint of fall in the air.
Early
you catch
in the
it right early in the morning or right in the evening, you can feel that little bit of Christmas. It's mm-hmm. it's coming. We're about a month away from some of the hunting season starts.
That certain smell just gets me excited. When you feel that autumn smell, that's my key to start tuning up my bow, you know, and thinking about food plots and. So it's a great time to look forward to.
Yeah, some of the trees, they're not actually turning colors, but they're just kind of looking a little different nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, we appreciate the report.
Okay, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right. And we're going to be – we got a great show lined up for you today. Dr. John Dendo will be with us later in the show. He's a marine biologist with the Dauphin Island Sea Lab. I'm going to talk about a tagging project that he does on triple tail. Also, we got Mr. Jackie Bushman coming on today to give us a preview of the Buckmasters Expo coming up soon. So stick with us. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show.
I'm Harry Brooks here with Brooks Motors in Thomasville. There's nothing better than football Saturdays in the South, and at Brooks Motors, we're ready to help you score big this season with our wide selection of new and pre-owned vehicles from Chevy, Buick, and GMC. The rivalries can get intense sometimes. Who knew an elephant and a tiger would become such enemies in Alabama? All I ever see are deer and armadillos. But at Brooks, we're all on the same team. Whether you're popping the tailgate or cheering from the stadium, and whether you're a fan of crimson and white, orange and blue, or anything in between, our knowledgeable Brooks staff members are already on your team when it comes to help making your next vehicle purchase. We can't all be winners on the football field, just ask the elephant and the tiger, but remember, you're always a winner when you shop at Brooks. Visit us online at buyatbrooks.com. It's game time.
Dauphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dauphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dauphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dauphin Island Marina on Dauphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
It's the 24th Buckmasters Expo, August 18th through 20th. Admission is free with a can of food. Kids 12 and under free. Shop more than 300 booths from the biggest names in the hunting industry. New outdoor attractions. Meet Chipper Jones, Matt Duff, David Blanton. And Saturday only see Bill Jordan, Nick Mudd, and NASCAR's Elliott Sadler in the Nationwide booth from 2 to 4. Watch top archers compete. Free riverboat rides Saturday and Sunday. It's the Buckmasters Expo at the Montgomery Convention Center. A hunting event for the entire family.
Welcome back to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors with Alan White and John Felsher, brought to you by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. Once again, here are John and Alan.
And welcome back to the show. I'm Alan White along with John Felsher, and our next weekend fishing forecast on the inshore side of things is Captain Bobby Abriscato. How you doing, Bobcat?
Good afternoon, Alan. How are you?
I'm good, man.
You getting anything out of Felsher?
No.
I'm trying to keep quiet.
Yeah.
Every time I open my mouth, I get in trouble.
That's what I'm going to say, Johnny. I think if me and you kept our mouth shut, our heads would explode. That's what would happen, I think.
What's going on this weekend, bud?
Well, you know, we flip into that, we go into that nip, I guess tomorrow it starts to nip through the weekend.
Yeah, we got a nip tide Friday and Saturday.
This week. this weekend. It's we had the full moon, of course, on Monday night, but that we had that big full tide early in the morning, and with that, I guess with that rain and whatnot, we've been having the showers and all the rain we got last week, that water temperature dropped some, and man, just had some fantastic early morning trips up on the right up on the beach, really shallow water, which is not, you know, real abnormal for this time of year, but typically this is kind of a deep structure deal. But I think a combination of those things and then that storm that's south of us pushed that water level up, and it was just amazing how shallow a lot of those fish got with that tide being about a foot and a half high. It was top waters and slicks, and then live shrimp, you know, pretty much anything along that line that you threw when you got around them. And then, of course, that moon had them spawning, so they were really kind of gathered up in schools, and it was a function of finding them. I should have shot some video of it, because some of the slicks, the fish slicks they were kicking out was really, man, pretty impressive stuff. It was classic spawning fish fishing. You know, this weekend, it's going to, like I said, we're going to nip this weekend, and I think it's going to be kind of back to that, more of that deep water structure thing with live bait, you know, the gas rigs, the wrecks, you know, rock piles, anything like that deeper than about 8 feet of water. It's probably going to be the best target for those trout grouping up. That's really the true pattern. And, you know, when it gets hot like this too, that croakers, when that croaker really works well. So if you can get your hands on croakers, especially if you're fishing in the Condies, you know, the Condies tournaments this weekend, that's probably the funnest trout format of all of them that they have. Those guys put on a great show, but if you're fishing that thing, I'd really recommend carrying some croakers with you, because it's going to take some quality fish, and those croakers get it done on that.
Do you normally catch your croakers, or are you buying from a bait shop?
I do both. I like to catch my own croakers. I prefer to do that before my trip, and I have a bait trawl that I pull that really is kind of designed to really catch fin fish. The shrimpers don't want all that in their net, but the way we built this net, my net actually has a little bit of a drop back on the lead line, and it catches those croakers that normally get over the net. But it just depends on, you know, the how available the croakers are, and you know whether or not I got time to go, and how lazy I am, basically, is really what I ought to say, you know, is whether or not I'll drag for them. But, man, it's hard to beat fresh caught croakers. And the ones you buy, on that subject too, Johnny, I would make sure when you look at those croakers in the bait dealer's tank, if you're going to buy them, make sure that they don't have the red bellies and the red tails, because those aren't going to live very long when you put them in your well. You want to get some that are nice and white, you know, slick, and the person that's catching them for you in the bait tank is having trouble catching them. That's the croakers you want. If they're, you know, if you look in the tank and there's croakers swimming upside down, don't waste your money on them, because they're not going to hold up well in your bait well.
Well, croakers make a great bait fish, but I like them as a game fish. When you get a real big croaker on the line, I think they outpull about anything out there. They're basically a redfish without a spot.
That's exactly right. I mean, I guess they got to be closer than a first cousin to a redfish, you know. But, you know, on the subject of size of croakers too, this is the time of the year that, you know, I'm don't be afraid to put a croaker on that's, you know, 5-6 inches, because you're not going to give up a lot of action, you know, and that's going to really give you the chance to catch those big trout. This is the time of year when it gets hot that those trout really get on those big croakers, you know. So even when I'm carrying the little 2 and 3 inch ones that I normally use, I always try, especially if we have some bycatch of one, like for trout fishing, and we catch some of those bigger croakers, I put them in the well and throw one out on a tight line while you're fishing, and man, it's amazing. You know, you'll catch big trout with them, but it's amazing how big of a croaker that a 3-pound trout will eat, you know.
Biggest redfish I ever caught in my life was on a croaker about 12 inches long. We're actually fishing for sharks with big heavy tackle, and got about a 30-something pound redfish.
I'm telling you, if it swims, you can catch it, can't you, Johnny?
That's right.
I love it. Well, good luck Saturday, Bobby, and to all the anglers fishing that tournament. Good luck to y'all.
That's a lot of fun, that tournament. And anyway, I hope to hopefully have something to weigh in and see them at the weigh-in.
All right. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right. Let's take a trip up to Lake Martin and check in with Captain Mike Walker, see what's going on up there. Captain, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. How are you?
We're good, man. We're right in the middle of August in the hot summertime. I guess it's the dog days now. What about the fishing? What's going on?
Right now, probably at an all-time worst bite for Lake Martin in a long time. We've had a lot of summer rain. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's got our fish kind of stressed out, having to pull too much water, low oxygen levels, and just pretty much really, really slowed down what's going on over the next week or two. Without the rain, we'll balance back out and things will be fine. But as of right now, it's pretty slow, and if you have other plans, you might want to do them.
Well, we give honest reports here on this show. I appreciate that. Now, you target those big striped bass up there. Are they doing any better at all if you fish at night?
No, night, day, neither one is really productive. You grind through a couple fish, the crappie bites held up okay, and the bass bites held up okay. Really, right now, it's about as slow and mundane as you on whatever you're fishing for.
Well, that should be changing fairly soon as we start to get into the fall. If what kind of advice could you give to somebody who is trying to go up there and catch a big striper, other than go some other time?
Yeah, I mean, right now, just the fish are pancaked to the bottom. They're going to look like stumps on your depth finder. It also could look like a thermocline sitting on the bottom. There's a lot of them. It's kind of a weird look on your graph right now. But really just going to have to hit the fish on the head with live bait, or if you're on top of them, vertically jigging and being aggressive with it to try to get them to come up off that bottom and do something.
Okay. All right. Captain, I appreciate the report, buddy. Y'all try to stay safe up there.
All right. Have a good one.
Let's travel up to Miller's Ferry for a minute and see what's going on up there with Mr. Joe Dunn. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Alan.
Well, how's the water clarity up there?
It's still pretty good. We've been having a few, you know, afternoon thunder boomers, and it may stained it up just a little bit, but it's still, you know, still doing real good, catching a lot of catfish, catching a lot of bass, a lot of crappie. Everything's really turning on out in that river, you know, when they go to pull in that current. Caught a lot of bass the other day. We went out and fishing some of those creek mouths and ended up catching a limit at one spot. So,
what were you throwing?
Actually, I was throwing a spinnerbait. And if you ever done this, I was slow rolling a big spinnerbait up those ledges, what I was doing.
All right.
And, you know, they'll hit that a while. If they quit that, then you go to a crankbait or vice versa, whichever one you want to do. And then after that, you know, go to throwing a plastic. But everybody, a lot of people don't realize how deadly that spinnerbait is this time of year, you know, slow rolling that thing back up a ledge. But they will forevermore hammer that thing right now.
Now, why would a bass hit something like a chartreuse spinnerbait? There's nothing in life that looks chartreuse, and there's nothing that looks like a spinnerbait. I might ask our marine biologist friend that question a little bit later today. But they'll hit it.
Oh, yeah. And which, you know, right now, you know, anything, especially with anything that's got in your plastics, too, if it's got some type of glitter in it, you know, on your that looks like small bait fish and stuff like that, they hammer those right now, too. And the crappie, you know, everybody's starting to go back to bottom bouncing a little bit along the ledge, you know, when they're finding that wood and some type of structure for them to get behind when they're pulling that water and feeding. And then when they're not, you know, trolling's probably going to do your best. Vertical jigging in your big places, big flats that's got deep water, you know, any that's got that 15 to 20 foot of water, get around that 8 to 10 foot break usually, and vertical jig around those snags. They're picking up some good crappie right now, or trolling out in the main, you know, river too. It's working real good.
What is the minimum length on crappie at Miller's Ferry?
At Miller's Ferry, I'm not sure. It was, I thought everything was nine.
Yeah, so, I think so. I think it's nine.
You know, the bass, you know, that I'm not sure. Only one time there wasn't one on bass, but I don't know if they changed that or not.
Yeah, but most all river systems and public waters is 9 inches. There's certain lakes that are different, you know, 10-inch crappie limit. Can't keep anything under that, so... I was just wondering about that. Are they pulling water through the dam twice a day now or once a day? What are they doing?
as of right now, it was more like from, you know, around mid-morning or after lunch on to about 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and the best thing, like I said, is check that every day and you make sure you stay right on top of it. But
yeah,
they'll change it up. You know, you got to, some days they'll, you know, they may move it earlier that day. You just don't ever know.
When you call this number, 334-682-4896, you can find out exactly when they're going to start pulling water and making the water move up there. You may want to do that before you plan a fishing trip at Miller's Ferry. How far ahead can you find that information when you call that number? Can you find out what's going to happen the day after you call?
Well, usually they will actually change it around lunch.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, for you need to call, you know, after lunch for the next day.
Oh, okay, okay. As long as you call after lunch, you can get
the next day up until, you know, and then when you call, you know, up until then, usually you'll get it for the day. And don't wait and call for that day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because they done changed. They'll be done swapped over for the next day because I've run into that a time or two.
I got you. Well, you know, when they are pulling water, it changes things. It makes the water move. The bait fish loosen up from their cover, maybe, and it sometimes causes the crappie to start biting better.
Oh, yeah. Well, it just puts everything in a feeding mode then. It's bringing the food to them then. Mm-hmm. They go and get it to ambush points and, you know, wait on the food to come to them then.
Absolutely. Well, I saw some pictures of some crappie you caught this week, and I tell you, there's some really slabs up there that can be caught. That's for sure. I don't know if August is the best time of the year to do it, but we're getting close to fall, so I love to fish during the fall. All right, Joe. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Appreciate it.
And we'll be right back with Dr. John Dindo after this short break.
Have you always wanted to work in the outdoors industry? Are you talented in sales? Here's your opportunity. Great Days Outdoor Media is offering a great base salary plus commissions and bonuses, along with group insurance and benefits with a 20-year-old established brand. It's the most fun you'll ever have building a career. No matter where you live in Alabama or Northwest Florida, email your resume today to info@greatdaysoutdoors.com. Don't delay. Email your resume today to info@greatdaysoutdoors.com. Equal opportunity employer.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
Defense! Defense! Defense!
I'm Harry Brooks here with Brooks Motors in Thomasville. There's nothing better than football Saturdays in the South, and at Brooks Motors, we're ready to help you score big this season with our wide selection of new and pre-owned vehicles from Chevy, Buick, and GMC. The rivalries can get intense sometimes. Who knew an elephant and a tiger would become such enemies in Alabama? All I ever see are deer and armadillos. But at Brooks, we're all on the same team. Whether you're popping the tailgate or cheering from the stadium, and whether you're a fan of crimson and white, orange and blue, or anything in between, our knowledgeable Brooks staff members are already on your team when it comes to help making your next vehicle purchase. We can't all be winners on the football field, just ask the elephant and the tiger. But remember, you're always a winner when you shop at Brooks. Visit us online at buyatbrooks.com. It's game time.
Hey, Alabama, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, celebrating the great Alabama Great Days Outdoors.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm Alan White along with John Felcher, and our special guest today is Dr. John Dindo. He's a marine biologist at the Dolphin Island Sea Lab, and he's been doing a study on triple tail and a tagging project, and we wanted to get some more information on that today. Dr. Dindo, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So when did this study begin?
Well, it's kind of interesting. There's a researcher in Mississippi, Gulf Coast Research Lab. He's been doing it about 5 or 6 years looking at blackfish triple tail. For us, we've we're doing a lot of redfish studies, speckled trout studies, and we see them all the time, but we really didn't have an impetus to go and look for them. We were approached last year by a young man that does a lot of fishing, Mr. White Martin, and he's really into fishing triple tail. So he approached me, said, "Would you be interested in doing some research if I got you some money?" And what researcher says no to something like that? You know?
Hey, I'll play if you give me some money.
So to his credit, he went out and he through the White Family Foundation, he got us money last year, and we started the project. And he got us money again this year to continue the project. And the idea behind this is to, last year we used multiple guides, and we go out and capture and do all the measurements we need, all the weights we need, stick this tag in, and the tag has our phone number on it, mm-hmm. so that when you're out there and you catch this fish, you keep the fish, but you do a few things for us, like get the weight and length and the date you caught it and location, then that's part of our log. It helps us understand movements of the fish and growth rates.
Yeah, let's talk about movement. You know, we know based on temperature that they move into the bay at certain times, but where do they go otherwise?
That's a real good question. One that we're looking at is 72, 73 degree water temperatures. A lot of different species of fish move into our bays, and mm-hmm. sharks move into our bays. Water temperatures above 70, and so they're in here and they move around within the system. Lower bay, eastern shore, up the bay, Mississippi Sound, obviously where lots of fishing pressure takes place. But then as the water temperature fall approaches and you all start hunting and we're still there fishing, and slowly you start seeing fewer and fewer and fewer. And so where are they moving to? Are they moving offshore? Are they moving westerly into Louisiana waters or Texas waters? We're hoping that that's what these tags will help us. When mm-hmm. you know, somebody in East Texas catches one of a Dolphin Island Sea Lab tags and calls us, and that's just one more data point for mm-hmm. us.
Right. Well, it's a fish that we really don't know all that much about. In fact, it's a fish. Growing up, it was we would go offshore. We'd catch a boatload of snapper and other kind of fish, and on the way back, we might see a triple tail hanging around a buoy and try to catch it. But that's pretty much all we did with them. If we saw them, we'd go after it. If not, forget it. So, but now they're being really targeted by a lot of people because there's an option there that you don't have to go offshore. When the season is open, you only get two snapper. So, imagine there's some more interest in triple tail nowadays.
Yeah, I think the pressure. I mean, that's one of the things that Mr. Martin brought up to our attention. Since he's fished them a lot, he said, "Look, I'm not seeing as many fish as I used to see. And the fish that I'm seeing are not the same size that I used to remember mm-hmm. catching." Mm-hmm. And we agreed. I mean, we see the same thing. I can remember 25 years ago going out with Ellis Tall, and he'd call me up. He said, let's go out and get a blackfish. Jump in his boat. We'd leave the marina. We'd go like two buoys down with a Calcutta pole, catch one. That's it. We're done. You know, 16, 18 pound and come home. It's not that way anymore, but there's also so many boats out there. Like you said, I mean, the snapper seasons have been short. The limits are small. People that invest in fishing want to fish. They just want to go out and fish.
Yeah.
Well, have you got any kind of returns back or any kind of information? I know it's a new program that fairly new. What have you found out so far?
Well, I mean, we tagged about three or four right on the west end of Dolphin Island last summer, and 2 days later, three of them were caught again. so I don't know if somebody was following us and saw us land those and fish those same. One thing that tells you is they stay in the same area for a length of time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the study's new. One of the things we want to look at is age and growth. How old are they? So we're asking fishers that once they fillet that, bring it home, they call us and tell us the data, they fillet that thing if they keep the head. Just chop the head off, put it in a freezer, bring it to us. All right?
And then you could look at the otoliths.
Then we take the ear bone out, take a look at the age of that fish. He already gave us the weight, so we can go ahead and do some studies on age and growth.
Well, it's a migratory fish in general. What do we know about the migrations of the fish?
Well, that's, you know, again, that's one of the things that we're hoping to find out more. We do know that there is a net movement to the west in the fall of the year, but how much movement is there offshore? I know that following a storm, if you get a tropical storm in here, anywhere around, and there's a lot of water build up in the bay, if you go out 10, 15 miles, any log that's out there is going to have a lot of triple tails on it. They just I don't know if they're pushed by the volume or they just move out there with that surge. But, I mean, and then once that's passed, where do they go then? I have no idea.
They're a strange fish. I can tell you they kind of lay on their sides and kind of flop around, like, you know, reminds me of John after a big meal. <You know?
laughs> Yes, they're an ambush predator.
Hey, that steak comes by me, I'm a grab it.
Yeah, they are. They hang on a surface. If you want to see a nice one, we've got about a 15-pounder in the estuarium down at the Sea Lab. You can see it.
That's good.
Well, what some other things you guys are involved? You're involved in sharks and some other kind of fish and stuff like that?
Yeah, we have a number of different studies going on, and you know, we have graduate students that are implementing some of these studies. We got a study on redfish. We're looking at movements of redfish. Again, same kind of thing, age and growth. We just started one on speckled trout. We know they have high fecundity. They produce a lot of eggs. What percentage of the eggs actually become little trout? And so that's one of the things we're starting to look at. We're doing tags. This young student will be meeting with a lot of fishing groups and actually handing out tags and needles so that they can start sticking some of these speckled trout, and we get better knowledge of the movements of those fish as well.
Now, from past studies that I've read about, trout seem to move around a lot more than redfish. A lot of times I have these tournaments where they'll tag redfish, and somebody will catch that redfish a few hundred yards from where they caught it the first time. But a speckled trout, it might go anywhere.
That's right. I mean, that's what we see, that their movements are, and you can see them. I mean, their movements are throughout the water column, up and down the bay. I mean, you were asking earlier about, you know, potential birds up in the causeway, which is a good sign of shrimp, which is followed by speckled trout moving up in there. So, yeah, there's a broad range of movement, and they're always on the move.
Well, what's cool is, you know, I know your students, and you spend a lot of hours out on the water doing these programs, but you also hire local guides to guide you and local, you know, triple tail fishermen who know how to go out there and do it. So some of that grant money is going right back into our economy.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, they know where the fish are. You know, they're out there every single day. I'm out there a lot, but they're out there every single day. Right. They know where the fish are. So we use them to get out there, to help us with them. And we're going to expand that program next year to those people that are really concentrating on triple tails so we can get tags in their hands as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe when I retire, I'll know where the fish are. I can stay out there every day.
That sounds like a pretty
good job. And
then
I'll go with you.
Yeah, I can see Dr. D here in his, let's see, I got a big staff meeting next week, or I could go out and catch triple tail. Yeah, I got to spend some of that grant money. I'm going triple tail fishing.
Or the staff meeting takes place on a boat out by number 22 buoy.
Well, the redfish tagging has been going on a little bit longer.
Absolutely.
You guys found some stuff with that?
You know, we got the age and growth down pretty good on that. And locations, rat reds, where we're pretty much convinced where they are up in the salt marshes, way back in those marshes and sub tributaries. They seem to hang there for most of the summer, before they move out. We even have some tags that are acoustical tags, in which, like at the mouth of Fowl River, we'll put up these listening stations. So we'll go way up in Fowl River and catch these fish, and we'll we slice their belly, stick a tag in it, sew them back up, put ointment on them, release them. When that fish passes Fowl River, when it passes that listening station, we know it.
That's pretty cool. All right, Dr. John Dindo, marine biologist with the Dolphin Island Sea Lab. Thank you for being on the show today, bud.
Thank you for having me, guys.
And we'll be right back after this.
Have you always wanted to work in the outdoors industry? Are you talented in sales? Here's your opportunity. Great Days Outdoor Media is offering a great base salary plus commissions and bonuses, along with group insurance and benefits with a 20-year-old established brand. It's the most fun you'll ever have building a career. No matter where you live in Alabama or Northwest Florida, email your resume today to info@greatdaysoutdoors.com. Don't delay. Email your resume today to info@greatdaysoutdoors.com. Equal opportunity employer.
It's the 24th Buckmasters Expo, August 18th through 20th. Admission is free with a can of food. Kids 12 and under free. Shop more than 300 booths from the biggest names in the hunting industry. New outdoor attractions. Meet Chipper Jones, Matt Duff, David Blanton. And Saturday only, see Bill Jordan, Nick Mott, and NASCAR's Elliott Sadler in the Nationwide booth from 2 to 4. Watch top archers compete. Free riverboat rides Saturday and Sunday. It's the Buckmasters Expo at the Montgomery Convention Center. A hunting event for the entire family.
This is Alabama's Great Days Outdoors, brought to you by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. Here are your hosts, Alan White and John Felsher.
And welcome back to the show. I'm Alan White with Great Days Outdoors Magazine, along with John Felsher. And our next guest is Mr. Jackie Bushman. He's got a big Buckmasters Expo coming up. How you doing, Jackie?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing good. Man, you looking forward to hunting season or what?
Well, I tell you what, I just got back from Alaska a few weeks ago, and I was going, God, I've never hunted, you know, in June. That's usually my time off, but we're going to crank up September 10th, and we'll go every day to February 10th, so I'm trying to get a little vacation time in before we hit the highway again, but, you know, it's always fun to get it going again. This will be our, believe it or not, our 31st year. We're the longest-running hunting show in TV history. I don't know if that's a compliment or I'm just old. So.
Well, tell us what's going to be going on this weekend. Anything new this year?
Expo coming next weekend. That's the 18th through the 20th here in Montgomery. And got a lot of outdoor celebrities coming in. Nick Monk, Bone Collector's going to be in. Bill Jordan and David Blanton of the Real Tree Guys are going to be with us. We got NASCAR's Chase Elliott's car is going to be there. And Elliott Sadler is going to be in for a couple of hours on Saturday. So we've got a lot of new names. We've got some pretty cool stuff. Husqvarna is one of our sponsors this year. This guy does sculptures with a chainsaw. I got to watch this one. I it's hard enough doing a sculpture, just by yourself doing it, but with a chainsaw, I got to go out and watch that. And then we've got some world class barbecue pit masters doing demonstrations on cooking classes and stuff. And that's Shell Rotella's group that they bring in. So we got a lot of stuff outside. So I'm real pleased with that. And if anybody's ever been up and ever taken a riverboat ride, we got free riverboat rides for everybody on Saturday and Sunday. Chipper Jones is going to be in. Him and Matt Duff are going to be in for Saturday and Sunday. So it's a fun weekend. It's a lot of work, but we love folks from coming all over the country to it and make a vacation out of it, guys.
You know, one of the things I love about your show every year is it's not just the retailers that are set up in the booths. It's the actual manufacturers. So you can talk to the horse's mouth, so to speak.
You're exactly right, and we're real blessed to have a lot of great sponsors of Buckmaster. Been with us over 30 years, and you're right. Very rarely do you get to go to a consumer show and see the manufacturer and actually talk about the product, and you can step over and buy that product, from our many retailers there. But, these guys, the exhibitors, they're basically on their last show of the year, and they're trying to get rid of all their products, so they got a lot of discount prices going on. And, that's a good thing. We've got our Top Bow Indoor World Championship going on this week, next weekend, so we'll crown our champion again. That'll be going on all weekend. And we got 4-H kids in from probably close to 10 different states, and we'll have our 4-H Top Bow Indoor World Championship too. So we're excited about having the kids in because that's our future. Without the kids, our sport will not survive. So we got those guy's going to be in there shooting. And Craig Morgan, good friend of mine, got his own TV show. He's going to be entertaining Saturday night. There are tickets available. If people would like to come, they just got to call the Impact there in Montgomery at the ticket office. And, Craig, I just talked to him today, and he's bringing his bow, and we ain't going to let him shoot around on the target set.
Yeah, all right.
Well, that'll be fun. I do want to mention the price of admission is a can of food, right?
That's right. And it goes to the Salvation Army or our Friendship Mission here in Montgomery. And, you know, we fed, you know, a lot of folks over the years. Through our Project Venison and through the Expo, we fed close to 5 million meals to the needy. So, and that's one good thing about it. We've got so much support here, you know, with our local sponsors, from the mayor to the county commission and all our local sponsors, that we don't have to charge at the door. And that way everybody can come. So we help everybody down y'all's way. We'll just jump into pickup trucks and come see us and be part of another great Buckmasters Expo.
Well, Great Days Outdoors Magazine to be there for the 21st time. I'm proud to say that.
Absolutely. And y'all been with us a long, long time.
We have.
You know, and hey, we always talk about the kids. We have got a great Young Bucks Pavilion with all interactive games for the kids. So, you know, make sure you bring the kids. We got Bucky and Drop Time, our mascots. They're going to be hanging around. A lot of music and fun and live animals and the whole nine yards. So, for the kids. So make sure you don't forget to bring the kids, because they're a big part of the show too.
They had a media day that I went to several years ago. I got to meet a lady that was working with Remington. I don't know if she's still there or not, but in less than 5 minutes, she taught me more about shooting skeet and hitting skeet than I've ever known before. These people that come from these manufacturers, I'm telling you, you can learn a lot by talking to these guys. If you have questions for Remington or Muzzy or some of the other guys up there, this is what I enjoy. I love to do that because Lord knows I'm no expert at anything, but I can get in contact with experts, and that's what makes my job fun.
Well, sound like a heck of a show. That the 18th through the 20th. I was wrong earlier. It's the 18th through the 20th up in Montgomery. And Jackie, have you seen any different trends as far as what manufacturers are doing? What's hot this year?
Well, you know, they've always got something new coming out, whether it's a new bow or a new crossbow. You know, crossbows probably increased probably more in the industry than muzzleloader hunting I've seen in a long time. So, you know, just getting different times to get out in the woods, you know, to have special seasons. So that's been interesting to watch, the phenomenal growth of crossbows and muzzleloaders. So.
Air rifles come to mind as the latest trend, too. Jackie,
you're
man.
Right. Gammo has been a sponsor of ours. We put on the Squirrel Master Classic, kind of similar to the old Buckmaster Classic. And we have had a blast doing that. But to know that those air rifles can shoot up 1,400 feet per second and hit those squirrels is beyond me. I wish I'd had one of those back about 30, 40 years ago.
I know it. Jackie, we appreciate you being on, buddy. Thanks you so much.
Absolutely, guys. I look forward to seeing y'all. Show hours are Friday 3 to 9, Saturday 9 to 7, and Sunday 10 to 5. Look forward to seeing you.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for John and I today. We'll be back next week. I'm Alan White, along with John Felcher, and we're wishing you all a great day outdoors.